Hello, Watch Nerds, and welcome back. This is your host, Nico, and today we talk RZ Watches. I say hello and welcome to Huey Tang from RZ Watches. Hi.
Hey, Nico. How's your morning going?
It's good, it's good. It's late evening for you.
Yeah, that's right, but I'm always looking forward to talking watches, so thanks for having me.
Same here. You're one of those that I can clearly call watch nerd. So I'm quite excited actually to talk to you today. For the listeners that don't know who you are, give me a brief introduction.
Yeah, so I'm a lifelong watch enthusiast. I started collecting when I was a young boy, thanks to my father. He was, my inspiration in terms of introducing me to the watch world. And one of the watches that I remember when I was young was he had a Rado DSR that was scratch-proof ceramic, and it just was so compelling. He had some really personal stories about it that taught me about just the technology that was coming out of watches and just, introduced to me interesting things like the Movado Museum watch and things like that. So as a young collector, I really got into the details. And then as I got older and stuff like that, I never imagined that I'd ever be part of a watch brand. But, getting an opportunity to meet Travis personally and then having experienced titanium through him in a certain way as from a micro brand or independent standpoint. I really just got drawn into the brand, and now I'm doing what I'm doing working at RZE. So that's kind of the short and concentrated version of my watch journey. But yeah, I'd love to share more for sure.
How did your paths cross?
So it's actually quite funny is that I got to know Kirk Lucas or Kirk Lepton with who takes photos with RZE, and I got to know Kirk through the hobby, and then he actually introduced me to Travis because one of the things that I thought was really important when it comes to micro brands or independent brands and things like that, a smaller production, is to be able to provide provenance and things like that to those kinds of independent pieces and individual pieces. And although NFTs are kind of a dirty word now after the crypto crash and stuff like that, I still I think that's really important that we do actually integrate them into our watches, not for value and things like that, but specifically in our re-verified program where we have pieces that are, long story short, refurbished or recertified by our watchmaker and stuff like that to go out again. But it's to give provenance that things like that have been traded in or things that have been serviced do actually have a genuine history that you can trace back and identify, not just as from the first sale point. And I think that that's missing from a lot of brands. And it's something that is very affordable, or it's very easy to do in terms of having transparent and clear records of ownership and stuff like that. And I think that technology is the future of quote unquote box and papers. And I think that all brands should actually have that aspect. And so when I was initially getting to know Travis through Kirk, that was actually my pitch to RZE, is to consider using something like that to track various aspects, because I know that that I'm a cheesy vintage watch collector, but I always say that I don't think that any of our watches that I personally own would ever be auctioned off by Oral Box, where someone would be like, oh, this is Paul Newman's, or this is Nico's, or whatever. Like, those stories are not going to be told by these kinds of people, right? And so I think that there's some other way that we can make sure that people know that that watch was ours and that, like, was worn at our wedding or was, at this kind of event. And I mean, that's the reason why Instagram should exist, right? When you take a wrist shot and capture that moment for that moment, it's like, I remember my watch when I got married, or I remember my watch when I first did this. And I think that when you can say definitively, it's actually that watch, that specific watch that did these things, it's quite amazing. Like, it's the thing that is romantic about wearing a watch that, in the past, those things were super important. You got it when you got 25 years at a company or something like that. It's to really signify those life achievements or life moments.
It's returning. It's returning because people realize now that for now 10 years, we've been brainwashed with these sport watches that are disposable garbage, literally, and that
Yeah.
has kind of spilled into the regular watch business. A lot of plastic watches are non-repairable. Even there is even movements now that are just made by machine, non-repairable. You know what I'm talking about. So people are now
Absolutely.
waking up and realizing, oh boy, where are the memories? Where are the importance of heritage and passing on things to our kids with meaning in them?
Absolutely. I think that that's the thing about even just consumerism is that we want to nurture a new perspective on consumerism that like you should really be buying things that are buy it for life. And you know, for all of us, we need to think about what's important and what the use case of those things are. And of course, I mean, we're in a business and we want to sell product, but at the end of the day, I think that as individuals, we all have values. And I think that myself and Travis and you know, you, I know as well, is that when we talk about things, it's like there's some things we can appreciate and there's other things that we own. And it's like you don't need to own it to appreciate it. And I think that that's something too, is that hobbyists are naturally like we get excited about things and we want to buy them and stuff like that, but I think it's important to just appreciate things sometimes. I think we talk about it a lot too, is about specs. Is some specs is like I'm really proud of companies for achieving a certain feat,
Yeah.
but does everybody need to own it? Not no, it's I
No.
mean it's not for anybody. It's for the fact that it's important. I mean like Fortis is something that's incredible. I mean, they're the real space adventurer brand right now, in my opinion. It's like, yeah, of course I want to celebrate Omega's history in space, and I mean we're all a little bit watch nerds.
Yeah.
I love like the Lunar Pilot or the 6139, and I mean we can go on and on, but I mean do we need to own all those iterations? Of course not. But if we talk about what people might talk about in 50 years as the space explorers of today, man, Fortis is doing crazy
Yeah.
things. Crazy, truly crazy things. But like, should me and you own it? Like, probably not.
And then, of course, the modern watches that are going to space, like Halda from Sweden, has been 7 times now to space, successfully
Yeah.
returned and still usable and all that. But nobody talks about those. Everybody talks about the bigger brands. But
Yeah, you're
we
right.
won't. We will talk about RZ today. And I'm a little bit curious to hear. Before we talk the watches itself, what watches do you like in general?
So like I'm definitely more into vintage, but I like these classic tool watches. And so to keep it to titanium and to tell you actually about the things that I collect really quickly is so one of the most worn watches in my collection is actually like a vintage Breitling Aerospray Space, like the titanium one from that's two-tone
Sweet.
bullet bracelet. Because the thing that I think about that is like it's a true icon in that like if you go through any airport, you're bound to find a pilot wearing this watch or who you know they know the history and the heritage of this as a real true tool of if you care about functionality and you care about what a watch can do, this is a watch that you really you know is everything is operatable by the crown. I mean it has repetition minutes and you press the button and it does a thing that function is like prohibitively expensive if you buy it any other place. I mean I really love the grab and go nature of it. I love how many time zones I can get and like just the number of features, and it's like and it's an excellent value. I think that this watch is so slept on in terms of the value currently in the market is like I always say it's almost this like hidden secret because if you think about it, the Breitling Aerospace today that you can buy at the boutique, it's not really that different than this one.
No.
And it's like thousands of dollars cheaper. And it's the same. Like it's like and I mean like you and me talk about it too, is like about high accuracy quartz. It's like
Yep.
Breitling's been doing high
With
accuracy
the
quartz for a
quartz
very
nerds
long
like
time.
me, this is joy. That
Yeah,
moment is
and it's like
fantastic.
it's fantastic because if you think about like it versus like the Omega like X33 and stuff like that, it's like that's not for everyone. The Breitling Aerospace is truly for everyone. And I think it just brings me so much joy. And so one of the things is like it's so wearable, it's great on rubber if you want to change it,
Absolute
anything.
strap
It's
monster,
so good.
that watch. And because of the
Strap
color, you
monster.
can put any color strap on this thing. You put pink, it
That's
looks
right.
fine.
So that's the thing where I think that if someone is looking at a value quartz watch that like is made out of an interesting material, titanium quality, you can't go wrong. And then something else that I really like is like again like going into the tool watches, Marine Master
Oh,
600
yeah.
SBDB 011 Seiko. It has this removable bezel and it's GMT, it's Zeratsu polished grade 5
That's amazing.
titanium, and of course it's spring drive. So I mean, like, one of the things for me outside of like I talked to you before about not really being a movement nerd, but I'm also a technology nerd in that like spring drive, you can't say that the spring drive is not an incredible experience to behold, regardless if you experience it in a tool watch or you experience it in, one of the incredible dress watches and stuff like that. But when I saw that Seiko was doing this in a Marine Master, putting a spring drive in there just for the sake of overkill, I mean, like, it's 600 meter diver. Like, it's actually ridiculous in
Yeah.
that, like, I don't have a dive license or anything, and but the idea of 600 and the idea of spring drive and like just that level of overkill, like the removable bezel and stuff like that, is like, it's something that I wanted to celebrate in the in my head that like,
But
but
man, that on the wrist.
yeah, it's a joy. I mean, it's something that like the loom and stuff like that is exceptional. Like, I do like the experience, and I mean, the bezel could also be better. I mean, they could have did ceramic at that time.
True, true.
I thought that was kind of, but I mean, from a tool like standpoint, I've never experienced a grade 5 titanium mirror polished on a dive watch like that and not be GS.
Yeah,
So I think
yeah.
that it's one of those things where, and you know what? I know that I've told a lot of people like what I paid for it, and we don't need to get into details or whatever, but like at the end of the day, the value for dollar, even at today's market price or whatever, some people might say like, oh, that's not worth it or whatever, but it's like, but find me a spring drive and find me in titanium and find it to me that 600 meters and find me these specs and add them all in. And it's like, it might not be your taste, but to achieve all of that at a certain price point is actually, it's impressive. It's just like, this thing is like if you look at a Zenith, any Zenith, El Primero with the old Daytona movement and stuff like that, is like, you look at that price point and then you say, it's not as good as a Daytona. It's like, I dare you. I'm like, I don't know how, if you can be a movement nerd or whatever, or like, because Zenith at that time is like, it's amazing. Like, that's one of the things that I have too, is I actually have the, yeah, I guess I'm a super nerd in that regard, is that like, it's impressive to me because I have one of those older movements, Zeniths, and I think that I like to celebrate that feat or that ability at that time for those brands to do it. And it's like, at that price point, it's just very, very reasonable for collectors today to access great horology without like breaking the bank.
If it ain't broken, don't fix it.
You shouldn't. And I mean, like, it's the 2824, it's all these things, and it's like, I'm very proud of companies for innovation and things like that, but I mean, when it comes to serviceability and things like that, like the NH35 or things, I mean, you can look at it from RZE's catalog too. And I, there's a reason why we want to keep using these workhorse movements and in our pieces. And it's because we want people to be able to truly service and use them for a lifetime and not have to think about how much is it going to cost to maintain this thing if I do want to keep it forever. And it's like, one of the things that I talked to Travis about in terms of like working on our branding and stuff like that is, I don't know if you remember, but the like 1 million mile Honda that they had, that there was like a celebration back in the day, and they made this whole campaign about it and stuff like that, and it talked about the guy's life and stuff like that. And I told Travis, I'm like, that's something that I think is like really important. Like, that if somebody uses something for a really long time, like for 1 million miles or something like that, like, we should celebrate those things. Like, and I think that for us, like, we want to think like that as well, is that like, what can you do to make it run like that? And I think that like, when we look at vintage and stuff like that, sometimes people say like, oh, I want it to be all original and stuff like that. And of course, like, from a standpoint of economics as well as heritage and stuff like that, all it's all great to make it all original. Like Mopar, American cars, great. Like that's what they want, sure. But I mean, when it comes to something in terms of like what we're doing, true field watches, true adventure watches, we don't want you to have to think twice about using it and then worrying about it being reliable or how you're going to fix it again. And if the whole idea of our watches is to have it lightweight titanium and then we're going to coat it with this hardness coating to make it look like it's new for a really long time, it's not supposed to patina, it's not supposed to show the wear and stuff like that. So then it's like, do you need to preserve that movement or like be dedicated to it being, let's say Swiss and pay a extra X amount of number of dollars and things like that. It's like if we're really talking about using it and reliability, serviceability, lifetime of product and stuff like that, these are tried and tested. These movements haven't changed for a long time for a reason. It's because they're excellent and because the price is going to just kind of stay the same. So yeah, that's how I feel.
My experience with RZ started a couple of years ago with the episode one of EDC watches, and that's where I've always put the brand sport, do anything, go anywhere, EDC type of watch. And today I see that this DNA is still there. How has the brand matured in this period of time?
I think that the greatest example that demonstrates our maturity is the RZE Resolute, obviously in the Pro. We've maintained that name since the beginning, where you even experience it perhaps pre-RZE, even when we were Ryzen. And I think that when you look at comparing that initial watch that we had, that field heritage has been maintained. The modern kind of angular design and stuff like that has maintained, but we've gone from having that Seiko workhorse movement to moving to a more premium Miyota movement to thin the case down to, upgrading from having just a strap to going to a bracelet and then from a bracelet going to one with quick release and then developing our own on the fly. Adjustable toolless bracelet, truly making it a full adventure watch. And then I think the thing that really elevates us to that full versatility watch from the Pro, from the initial Resolute, is that the Resolute was initially a field watch, but even though it's really attractive and you could say it's versatile in all settings, we with the Pro, we offered three colors of enamel, which is like an exceptional level of quality in terms of uniqueness to a tool watch. Finding enamel in it is super uncommon, but then also to then take our traditionally bead blasted case and then brush it and coat it, it's really elevates the tool watch in a sense that you have an opportunity to have something that's really beautiful that is built to last and you can beat it and treat it the same way as you could treat our original Resolute as a workhorse and as an adventure watch. But you also have this peace of mind now that you can treat this beautiful thing, this enamel dialed, brushed titanium piece that feels like it's something that can be heirloom or that you can pass on with all these memories. And you don't have any fear about doing it because the price point is affordable. And so that's something that we maintain in the heritage. I think that that's something where, although our idea for the brand has matured, the product has matured, we've iterated on it and try to maintain the great things about it that people like. And we didn't just re-release it for the sake of re-releasing it several years later. We maintain it in our core collection because we honor that design and the product is still excellent. The original is still great. But what we can do based on technology is that we can go to this place.
The original is so good, you're going to re-release it.
Yeah, I think that that's how it is. I think that it's something that we keep bringing back in this way. And like we look at like the Endeavor or our dive watch is something where we've actually iterated on the Resolute in a way where we think the Pro is the best version and the version that is the mainstream is now that thinner version using the Miyota as well. We probably won't go to the NH again in that, so we won't release the original because the thickness of the case is just now it's so good. Now
I
that you've
agree. This
experienced the
is
Pro, I think
improved,
you
yeah.
agree. Yeah, but I mean the 40 millimeter Endeavor It's something that, like, when we hit that on the head, like, I think, yeah, you got a chance to experience it too, is that,
Yeah.
like, that one can be an NH forever. We think that that's like a very accessible titanium dive watch where why put a better, higher beat movement in that piece of that size to push the price point up when it's going to be fantastic the way it is. I think that that's a bulletproof movement, and I know that a lot of people will, want to criticize the price point and stuff like that. But once you experience it in the metal, and you experience, let's say you get it on the bracelet, you get the on the fly, and you get all these little features that we've added on, it's like this price is really good. It's just it's not that it's cheap, but it's where it roughly should be in terms of what you're getting in terms of that whole package. And pushing it up, it might encourage a certain audience that wants that spec to then say, like, yes, it has that level of quality, but from that utilitarian tool, we should just get it at the price that we should have it at kind of price. I mean, that's the product that we promised initially. And if you want a little bit of pizzazz, then we have that Glacier dial that you get people get that experience to experience something a little more exciting. But we do maintain that very textured, basic, utilitarian aspect in the collections.
Finishing bracelet to this level doesn't come cheap. It was better than I expected, and that clasp is so smooth. The on-fly adjustment is so smooth. It never stucks, and that dial is this is crisp. I enjoy the looking at that dial. I enjoy seeing that dial in different light condition, and when I drive, this is sweet.
Yeah, I really like I think my most worn watch of 2023 was the enamel dial, the black dial, which is like it's like something else. It's something that you can't really describe in just the way that it looks. And I think that all three colors of enamel are really that. And I think that I'm of course I'm biased because I'm part of the brand, but at the
You
same
better
time,
be.
yeah, I better be, because the thing that I told Travis, like one of the things that because he's the real product guy. He's the because he's
Yes.
our product development guy and stuff like that. And I really pushed him to explore enamel, and as together we talked about it a lot as to that being a type of material we wanted to see in our watches, because it's something where it's not too flashy, but if you know, you know. Because we didn't want to go to the place where everything we make is kind of something really crazy and stuff. We wanted to make something where if you invested in the pro model brand, like let's say that right now you're saving all your money, you've never bought anything RZE before, and you wanted to enter at the best product that we could had to offer at the highest level of finishing and stuff like that, you could buy the pro. And I think that this is something where you could never, you have you never bought another watch, that might be the one that could be used for all of your things. You could use it for versatility, and you still have something fancy inside it, or like unique that is very compelling, like that applied logo, that it's a lot of that magic that people look for in different brands or in higher price points. But at the same time, it's very stealth. You can casually wear it, no problem, and nobody would blink an eye.
Definitely, and it has all the hallmarks of a sport watch. It has the drilled lugs. It has the screw down crown. By the way, don't change this crown. This crown is perfection for this size
It's
case, and
beauty.
the way it sits in the case. Don't change that, please. It has the thick gaskets, screw down crown, of course. It has all the hallmarks of a everyday EDC sport watch. But at the same time, the finishing of that titanium and the finishing of the clasp and the dial, it's it leans towards versatile, elegant office watch.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that we say is that we call all of our community members adventurers, regardless of what adventure you're going to use it for, because we really want to make sure that people, when we were actually developing the pro campaign, is that we want everyone to be seeing themselves as a professional adventurer, in that, like, if we tackle life in that way, and I know it sounds like a little bit cheesy, but truly, if you tackle every day as an adventure, and like, whether it's a win, loss, or a tie, and then you have an opportunity to do it again. And I think that we try to approach life with that rigor every day, is that it's always an adventure, whether it's waiting for the bus, or it's getting in getting into kind of like a conflict at work or whatever. I mean, it is just a simple adventure, and we don't want our life to be boring episodes of the repeat and the same because it becomes mundane, right? If everything's an adventure, those moments get really exciting. Then you really, I think that one of the things that we talked about, I don't know if we talked about it during the podcast or before now, but the idea that you can take a picture of your watch and capture that moment, and it's truly something you can remember. And we want everything to be that memorable, and when you experience it with a versatile piece, it becomes like a kind of like a worry stone, or like that totem, or something that grounds you. And I think that watch is becoming that for people, and being a part of their lives as a steady piece of their life is really a part that we're proud to be part of people's adventure. We really kind of lean into that in all of our communication and stuff like that, is that if anybody chooses our watch for their adventures, I'm so proud. Whether it's if it's for the office adventures like desk diving, deep diving, because that means that our tool is genuinely a thing that can accompany them in all those things. And everybody's time is important. I know that like, we're all in that thing where you have sat in traffic and there's so many people and you feel like so mad that you have all these places to go, and then you forget maybe for a moment. You look at your watch and it zooms out, like everybody in their car has a watch, everybody in there has a clock, everybody's on a timeline, everyone has somewhere to be. And if you just take that 10 seconds to breathe and look at your watch and watch the hands tick over it, just to appreciate something that you have, the preciousness of that moment and that time, and you realize how insignificant that challenges. It's just part of the adventure. It's just part of the ride. It's everybody is going through life in this adventure. And for us, for people to choose that on their wrist, to I love seeing car wristies and stuff for that reason, because I know that that part of their adventure is really important, regard like they're going somewhere important.
So
That's
very well said. And the older I get, the more I crave to create memories with my watches. I have said this on several episodes now in the last year, that the older I get, I have less and less craving to experience new watches, even though that doesn't go away being a watch nerd. But where are my memories with my watches? Where are my stories with my watches? I have to start building them now because I'm not getting any younger.
Absolutely. And one of the things that like, I mean, it was before the podcast we were chatting about G-Shocks, but like one of my childhood watches, the first watch that I made the most memories with was a Timex Iron Man. I still remember it, but it is disintegrated and gone. Like it is, and it's truly my childhood quote unquote adventure watch, right? But that was the reason why actually my next serious watch after that was a Citizen Eco Drive, and I wore it until I gave it to one of my friends as his first serious watch. And our memory, like our friendship has moved on. I mean, we're unfortunately not friends anymore, but not for any bad reason. I mean, it's just like a childhood relationship, you know, when you're a kid and you give something someone in junior high or something and you forget about it. And I'm like, there's no doubt that that watch is still running somewhere. But I, in this way, like I feel this distant part of it that feels like, oh, I wish I knew. But you even mentioned it earlier, is that you had the first RZD watch where you gave it to your friend, and you know that it lives on. And one of the things, like for us, the reason why we have that re-verified or refurbished program where you can trade in your watch and then you can get credit back so that you can get a new watch if you like or whatever, is that idea that that's the adventures of somebody else continues in some other watch, and you can track how long it's had adventures for. It's like it's an amazing thing. We all should be trying to create these memories, and it's like it's so sad to me sometimes to think of watches that are living in safes or just like living in collections, like just sitting when,
But you know, this is quite specific time story because this is the story of millennial guy. Because the older generation cannot say I have that story with my watch because there was no Iron Man when they were young. So this is millennial guy's story. The next generation will say, "Oh, my first watch was a Polar heart rate monitor, yada yada, sport
Well,
watch."
do you know, this is the thing though, is that like I talk to a lot of people about this too, is that like a lot of the current generation would have experienced their first watch through influencers, possibly, and not even watch influencers, but normal influencers or fashion influencers, because so many young people, if they wear an Apple Watch and they wear another watch, they'll tell you, "Oh yeah, I have a Daniel Wellington." And they're the original influencer watch of pumping that. And so like if you look at a kid that first experiences a quote unquote fancy watch and it's a Daniel Wellington, I respect that. That's okay because that's their first watch. And then the interesting thing about that is that kid is probably going to fall in love with the idea of owning a Calatrava or a Rolex Cellini or something like that, because in their head, that's what a real watch looks like, not a sport watch. They don't care about Rolexes from a standpoint of Submariner and stuff. They think that a Cellini or whatever, like they might be buying Nomos. They're the people who think that a Nomos might be, worth the value that it is, which I think that Bauhaus design is worth what it's worth. Some people want to criticize, well, why don't I buy this? Why don't I buy that?
But the power of marketing.
It's the power of marketing. His idea of a nice watch or whatever, and a lot of people would say, well, that maybe that's better than a Hugo Boss fashion watch, because that's slightly more discerning that they were convinced by a certain type of marketing that it's that, right? And I think that all of watch marketing, there's a lot of this in that, and I don't want to be disparaging to any micro brand or anything like that, but the whole, we cut out the middleman, this is the price, and this is the reason why we can do these things because of that. And it's like, yeah, all of the micro brands did do that. We all are in a certain price point, but at the same time, nobody's doing this for nothing other than to get the product out there or whatever. There's obviously some profit to be made. And for us, one of the things that we focused on is that, like, okay, well, we'll make even less profit and do the environmental stuff that we want to do. Because if we want to have the longevity of the brand and stuff like that, we have to put sustainability first. We have to have this buy it for life mentality and stuff like that. Because we also are not trying to create watches that are solely for collectors to just buy the whole collection. You'll find that some people might say that the collection and the things that we have are boring. But in a way, we want it to be a bit boring because we're hoping to hit new people that believe in the same things that we believe in, not just to keep hitting collectors, but to think that we want to the people to believe in the things that we're doing are important. And that's the real reality of it, is as the brand matures, people can find an old watch and maybe they can get a good price for it, and we'll be really excited for them. If you can participate in their brand for a great value, or you buy a refurbished or re-verified one for 70% of retail, and you get to have a watch for the rest of your life, and we don't get another dollar from you, that's fine. There's no reason that we need to try to compel someone to buy another model just based on specs. I think that we truly, I mean, I'm flattered that people choose it at all, never mind to ask them to choose it again and again and again. Because, I mean, not only from a consumer standpoint, but from a dollar standpoint, that if we're making memories with the watches, like you said, like as we're getting older and older, any moment that we're spending shopping for a new watch is one that we're not making any new memories with our old one. It's very simple.
And I have these five pillars of buying watch in the right way, if you will. And they're the design, because you always, you eat with your eyes. You start with the design, then quality and longevity, not just quality, because quality is one thing, but longevity depends on many things. It depends on design, it depends on materials and all that. So longevity, and then passion and community. And here in the Nordics, we have this thing that we focus a lot on the quality and the longevity and the design. We're very good at designing things and making them functionally work to perfection, but we have a little bit hard time expressing the passion and connecting with the community, which the Americans are very good at. They're very good at expressing their emotions and connecting with the community and getting the message out. But there must be a balance. Are you that balanced company?
I think we're working to be that, and I think that that's a thing where I'm very, very lucky with to had an opportunity to meet Travis, that had a had a product that I really believed in from a spec standpoint to begin with. And I think that that's something that's very compelling, is that everything that Travis was able to do in product drew me to the brand. And yeah, we didn't mention it before, but actually, like, Travis is the first person who convinced me that a micro brand is something that I should pay for. And the reason why he was able to do that is, first of all, I'm a real fan of titanium as a material, and I think that from a price point comparison between stainless steel and titanium, if you can get titanium like 40% lighter, like, you know, and all these things, and Travis sold me on the coating, like it's 1200 Vickers, 8 times more scratch resistance than stainless steel, like better than DS Shield, better than super titanium, and all these things. And he knew that I love ceramic and stuff like that, so he sold me on that. And then the next thing he sold me on was that when the JLC patent expired on the super compressor, he went and decided, or when he knew that that was going to happen, he went and developed a titanium super compressor and released it as our Resolute super compressor. And that was the first watch that I spent money on a micro brand in my entire life, actually. Like, I paid full retail to him and stuff like that, because I really wanted to vote for that with my dollars, that this is something totally unnecessary, but it's a guy's, you know, dream to do this, and for the community and for the spec and stuff like that. And not just like a dual crown super compressor like case, but a real true super compressor that takes someone with passion and commitment and dedication to having quality and technology. And I think that that's something that really, you know, taught me to look at a micro brand as an opportunity to, you know, buy into something you believe in, and to have a community around and cater to a community. And that, like, for us, we're so, whoever arrives at the brand for whatever reason, whether it's specs, like me, or like the very specific technology or anything like that, is that they're all welcome. And then they get to meet all these other people that arrive at the brand for different reason. And whether it be like from an EDC standpoint, where they experience the knives that we produce, or the foldable tote that we made, or the collab with Big Eye and stuff like that, is that it's been an emphasis for us that regardless of how you arrive at the brand, whether it have been on Kickstarter, or if you bought our Resolute Pro just last week or something like that, is that you're welcome as a group of adventurers. And that it doesn't matter what price you paid, or how you got the watch, or whatever, or even if you just have stickers that we include in all of our packaging, is that we want you to know the story of why we're around, and it's to provide adventure watches, and that we want to be part of your lives and your adventure. And that I think that's why we are working on striking that balance. And I think the more people that tell that story and get involved with their brand, the better that balance will be. Because Travis and I also talked about how we want people to always be participating to the brand, like in our Facebook group, RZE Basecamp and stuff like that, or on Instagram and stuff like that, because we really want to see what people do with their watches, and that becomes aspirational or inspirational for other people when we share those things, because people then realize that, like, yeah, I'm wearing the same watch as that guy doing that thing, or I have the same bag as that guy doing that thing, and they're real professionals. Like, sometimes when you look at the big brands and those influencers and ambassadors, they're really unattainable. They're just like movie stars or rock stars and things like that. And you start to see people in our community that are there are versions of rock stars, and are versions of, like, you know, like our knife makers, or, you know, the guitarists, or whatever, any whatever your hobby, and you find someone who's doing that thing, it's like, wow, we have the same piece of equipment in our lives, like, and that's something that's really special.
Any famous people wearing RZE?
I think famous to us. I think that you know, I think we definitely have some photographers and stuff like that that do some excellent work with great brands. Like, I mean, I'm really proud of a lot of people, like you know, Pete Elliott out of the UK that we work with on our
Nice.
Resolute Pro campaign. He's really good. Like, you know, I mentioned that I met Travis through Kirk, and he does exceptional work. You know, Capture Kirk
Yeah.
Lucas on Instagram, you see his stuff. And you know, Kurt Holland at Freehill Knives, he's a master. knife maker. Well, sorry, I think he's still a junior bladesmith, I think, but the things that he does are amazing. And I think, yeah, we feature a lot of people like on our blog. We have some adventurers that we're proud of, and there are some that will come and stuff. And I mean, they're famous to us, and I think that any adventurer that works with us, or even DMs us, I mean, I love talking to people about what they're doing with their watches. There's countless people that I wish that I could list off, and I'm sorry that I don't get them all, but I think that people are famous to us, and in a way that is really different than a lot of brands, in that I love the idea that we can actually connect with people that they choose the profession that they choose, not for the money and stuff like that. Sometimes is like we feel like that about watches too, and that it's a passion that we share. And when you see someone out there dedicating their life to something, and then they tell you about their adventures, you really want to get behind the thing that they're doing.
Absolutely. And
It's
you want to wear
actually,
the things they're wearing. You want to have the same vest, the same jacket, because if they're wearing it, there must be a good reason for it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like a fashion thing where people are, just wearing a fashionable thing.
If there is one thing this watch isn't, the Pro, it's a fashion watch.
It's the furthest. And that's the thing, is it's cool because it can be fashionable, and you can be versatile. But I mean, from a standpoint of the laundry list of specs and stuff like that, it's like it's a tool first, actually. And so then we really celebrate that in terms of all of our communications about being an adventure tool and adventure companion, is that it's the one thing that we expect to be unscathed in all of your day's situations. We expect that, like, if you are an adventurer, that you take risks and you make mistakes, you get messy, you do the things that Miss Frizzle says on the Magic School Bus. Like, it's the things that we, as kids, you aren't afraid to do those things, to have adventures and to have a misfortune or a misadventure in a day. It's actually quite normal. And as we get older, maybe we get comfortable, and then we choose not to, because we think that we've earned the opportunity not to, or we try to evade those things that are challenging. But it's like, if we aren't afraid of something, then really we're just getting to a place of comfort where we don't want nothing good can happen, right? If you It's just on the other side of your fears is the opportunity to do something great, truly. And I think that's the thing about adventure.
You made really cool blade, which I have pre-ordered. And the question here is, are you entering the blade game in general, or this
I
is
think
just testing
that
the waters?
it's a great product. And I think that Travis and I talked a lot about developing great products for everyday adventurers. And we don't want to cross off the never, but I think that this product is some one that we want to stick with for as long as we can have, meet the demand of the everyday adventurer for that product before we kind of branch out, because it is a great product for what it is, and we might iterate on it, like the Resolute, so that we can improve it and whatnot. But there's a lot of really excellent blade manufacturers out there already, and not to say that there isn't about watches, but watches is Travis's expertise, and I'm more of a everyday knife user, and I've been very biased in the knives that I've used in the past, and it took us a long time to create the best.
Well, you live in Canada, and Canadians are maniacs about knives, just
It's
like
definitely we
Finns.
are. And I mean, it's one of those things where working with Travis, we worked really hard on developing what we thought was going to be the best fifth pocket carry. And it's like and we wanted to do the same thing as we did with watches, is like offer great specs at a great price point and things like that. And when you achieve that thing, it's tough to iterate on it. Like, it took time for us to iterate on the Resolute, so like we're not going to release another, like, a knife just like for the sake of releasing one, because and the thing is, like, we need it to be everyday kind of like accessible usage, and so like it immediately cuts out the idea of doing a fixed blade on mass market or something like that, because there's just
No.
no, of course. And that's the thing, is like I think we think about it, and then the next size like that you look at is a larger folder. And we really believe in that thing of like creating something that maybe is for us specifically, or else it's for a very large market audience that it doesn't exist in our carry. So like for example, you look at the thing of that we ship our watches in, like the black comb pouch, right? Of course, like a lot of pouches like this exist out there, but we wanted to include it in our packaging as packaging, because what's the point of having, you know, a big Pelican case or another box or whatever that you kind of, it's priced into the product, right? Like in reality, it's priced into the product. And then for us, we thought like, this is such a great like travel pouch where you can organize your things and stuff like that. And you can get it as an accessory and you can include it. If you don't want it, you can opt out and you can save a few bucks. And when we created the Quest tote, it was something where we're like, this doesn't exist. Like, it doesn't exist in a way that we like it. And so we're going to try to make that product because it meets a certain market demand niche, just like the knife and stuff like that. So we were creating good adventure gear in categories where we're not experts or the product already exists really well. It's like the titanium pen. We our friends at Big Eye Design. We're not going to try to reinvent the wheel. We'll just collab with them on that. So we're open-minded to collabing. And so just I guess as an Easter egg, when we talk about knives, there's a higher likelihood that we would collab with one of the EDC people in the space that are doing something really good that we want to support and that they have an active audience for, and something that we can kind of support them on is where we would explore if it was something where we wouldn't don't feel comfortable, because we it was a big job. It was a long work in progress to develop that knife. So it definitely, if I guess I'm fully transparent, we don't have current plans, and it would take time before we kind of expand on that one specific category.
Excellent. I like that because I like knives. When I travel, I don't carry a knife, but as most Finns, I carry a knife on a daily. At the moment, I'm having a spider called Dragonfly, one of the earliest. This is like 5, 6 years ago, and it has served me well, but it's not titanium. And titanium is something I like a lot. So I'm waiting for mine. And before we wrap this up, did we miss anything? Is there anything you want to add?
No, I think just one of the things that I think from our brand, just speaking a little bit more about that community aspect, is that it's so important to us is our three P's, and it's people, product, and the planet. And from a people standpoint, one of the things that I wanted to just start off by thanking you for bringing me on is that like we really rely on the community to share our brand and talk about it and talk about the features that they love, and whether it be price point or specs or things like that. We're really thankful for the Watch Fam for that, because it's that's what's helped us grow in terms of like that a little bit of fandom or a cult following in ourselves, is that we have all these little niche parts of the community that we've nurtured or have found us, whether it be EDC as well. Like we're so lucky that EDC people who like our products have shared it. You know, like Best Damn EDC and Big Eye Design are really big supporters of our watches, and our bracelets compatible with their watch. So that's the reason why, you know, people are so important, is that they share our message and we get to work with great people. Not only that, but we choose to work with great people in terms of our product and stuff, is that not that everything is a favor, but at the same time, it's that we work with really great people who help us make the things that we want to do happen, which you know, whether it be the factories that we work with and things like that, or the individuals that you know, you know, take pictures of our watches and stuff like that. It's really important to us. And then our products, like, you know, Travis is exceptional when it comes to product development and focusing on creating products that are necessary in our opinion. Like we improve things for the reason of improvement, and you know, we look forward to actually introducing a GMT, the true GMT pilot's watch is coming at the end of this month. I'm not sure when we'll release this podcast, but at this end of the month, we're actually going to be revealing and launching a new GMT, which is a substantial upgrade, and the first time in a couple of years that we've brought that pilot watch back. So that's the thing that you can look forward to. We're looking forward to developing new products this year and revealing them all in March. What the other things that we're going to be doing this year, because we think that it's important for people to see our plans and our development as a brand and growth. And we want to show our community that we respect them and value them, and that we want them to be able to plan and save if they want to buy things, not just kind of like be treated as people that need to buy things at impulse or else they'll be all gone. We want people to have a chance if they get to know our brand and stuff that they'll be able to get the stuff. And then finally, I mean, like as we look at our products and our brand growth, the community is really part one of the big reasons why we focused on sustainability and our planet, and that a lot of the people who have purchased our products and stuff like that believe in the same things that we believe in terms of a leave no trace philosophy, and that we want to grow our brand in a way where the right amount of product is out there for the people who want the product, because we don't want to overproduce and have things go on sale and lose, just kind of like fall out of the consumer, like ending that product cycle just prematurely, because the products we make are supposed to last a lifetime, because the planet is going to be damaged by consumerism. That's why we moved to 100% recyclable or sustainable packaging. The reason why we're carbon neutral downstream, and we plan to be working towards being 100% carbon neutral or carbon negative by 2030. I think that that's important, and we keep working on this planet thing because we figure that what we do to support the planet will encourage people to kind of take a deeper consideration about other consumer products that they use, because we think that any brand can focus on this and do a good job. We've looked at Patagonia and North Face and other sporting good brands that have implemented trade-in programs and things like that, and really can make an impact. Of course, like we look at Yvon Chouinard over at Patagonia, and he's a big inspiration to me, and we try to model that and mimic it and try to look at that in terms of our bottom line and think, what can we do? And so for Earth Month in April, for every product that we sell, we're actually going to plant a tree in Indigenous land, rewilding Canada, because we want to draw attention to things like that, because it's we can do that. We can slow down our production, or we can, really consider our products and launch them carefully, and help grow our brand while growing trees. We want to be here as long as the trees that we plant. Travis and I have been really starting to say is that starting in April, when we do that for Earth Month, those trees will be here for 100 years. We want to have a 100-year brand. We want to get to that place where it can have a lot of people talking about how the brand that they're participating in is in part of their adventure. So yeah, that's kind of all the things that are part of the values of our brand, and we appreciate and thank everybody who participates in it. It's really an honor to be part of everyone's adventure, and thankful for people like you that participate and support us.
And that is message that you have communicated rather well. Ever since I bought my first Resolute, I call it the ideal EDC watch, which hasn't changed ever since. All the hallmarks for a good EDC watch, which I need in my life. I'm a very clumsy person. I have a medical condition. I bang and break watches a lot. In the search of the perfect EDC watch, there are a few brands that just stand out, and one of them is yours. But the added bonus here is the values, the goals, the way this message is conveyed to the audience, the communication with the audience, the feedback. Because I've talked to Travis, I've talked to you. You take the feedback very serious. And me being the picky guy I am, and we are a picky bunch, the micro brand audience, we have things to say. And everything has been re received kindly. I know for a fact that you're trying to, and you have helped other brands, and other brands speak good of you, which to me is just added bonus. I want the product I'm wearing to have a good people behind, which you are, that wants to help other, that wants to communicate with the watch community. So all this, I like the trading concept. fantastic. I like the longevity concept, and I like the environmental concept. So all this is a good package for EDC Watch.
Thank you.
That's why
It's, you
we
know,
invite
it's
you again.
truly high praise. Thank you. It's truly high praise, and I think that yeah, I mean, we're really thankful in terms of, like you mentioned, having other brands speak well highly of us, and I'm really appreciative of that. And one of the things that Travis and I talk about all the time is that, and I mean, it's something that you and I talked about as well in terms of wine and things like that, is that there's a time and place for every watch, and we might not be the fit for everyone. If you don't care about titanium, I mean, that's the only thing we make, it's all titanium. So, you know, if you're looking at a dress watch, we don't make that. And so we don't need to push you into buying a versatile watch, because there's a dress watch out there that's perfect for your adventures. And that's what we try to, even in our DMs or things like that, if it's not a right fit, I mean, it's not a right fit. And I think that we believe that high tides raise all boats. There's a lot more non-watch buyers out there than there are active watch buyers and hobbyists. And I think that as watch enthusiasts, Travis and I really believe that we need to be honest with people about what watch is good for them. And any watch that anyone picks, regardless of what brand they arrive at to the hobby, is like, we have to be excited about that, because they get to make stories and memories with the watches that they purchased. Just like the thing that you were saying is, it's like, I'm so happy to hear about, like, kids that get their first Hugo Boss or Tommy Hilfiger or whatever Fossil watch when they turn 18 or when they graduate high school or whatever, because inevitably at some other time, if they had a romantic watch moment with their watch at that time, they will inevitably have another romantic, important milestone moment in their life in the future that they'll consider a watch purchase. And I think that that's a beautiful thing. Anytime that you have a watch fan kind of come out, their origin story is so good. I think that people need to talk about that more often, is asking people about their first watch, not their most recent one, not their new watch arrival, but their true watch story. And so I thank you for having an interest in that with me all the time, as well as I love to talk watches just casually. And I think that people, that's the best part, not necessarily the ownership and the collecting aspect of it, but the moments that you've had with your watches.
You know, this is coming. If I could improve in any way, are you ready?
I'm ready. I invite it.
I have two recommendations, two things that I believe can improve the experience. And the first one is I would like to have a screwdriver included from hopefully sustainable material because the screws are quite small. I had to drive to the shop and buy a screwdriver. And the second one is if I would have a kind of a paper voucher, not voucher, but a booklet or like a just piece of hard-earned paper that tells me that it's possible to trade in. Those two things I
Yeah,
thought would be quite helpful.
that's great feedback. I think one of the things that I've talked to Travis about is, of course, having a screwdriver might improve the unboxing and sizing experience for a lot of people. And yeah, definitely it's something that we're looking to explore. It's interesting because it's like you said, it's you had to go and drive and buy one, but then it's like you'll never need it again. And one of the things that we've thought about is, for people who we can't do a bunch of different options, but we do sell a tool. But the other part is that, like, while we don't include it, then we can't price it in or have you have the option of removing too many things. But I
Okay.
definitely appreciate that. We've talked about definitely looking at one that would be affordable and sustainable. One of the things with screwdrivers, as you know, is they need to be a certain quality, or else the head will inevitably not be working as well anymore, as it'll be misshapen and stuff. So the number of uses, quality difference is substantial in those smaller screwdrivers. And for someone who is maybe not part of the hobby, it can be a prohibitive cost, and it is easier to get that service done at a jewelry store or something like
True,
that and
true.
support your local shop. But at the other regard is, I definitely know that it can be inconvenient. So I appreciate that feedback. We rack our brain about that actually fairly
I can
regularly. Travis
imagine.
and I talk about it because we get messages, right? And it's like, you don't know how to address it, but I appreciate that feedback. And then the second
But
part
maybe
about.
upon I'm just brainstorming now, upon checkout in the website, you can give an option, a recommendation that comes automatically to buy the screwdriver, and you can mention the size on the website that this is a size this and this. Buy this
Yeah,
screwdriver
that's a good
upon
idea.
checkout, for example. Then you have the
Yeah, that's a great idea.
environmental aspect, because if you could think, oh, do I have this screwdriver? Maybe I don't. You just buy it at the same time, no extra shipping, no extra environmental effect on the environment.
Right, that's a great choice because I mean you're right. It's like we kind of make the assumption that someone has the idea in advance that they need to have that, whereas if at least there's a reminder, then there's possibility because we do. Yeah, that's a great idea. Thanks. And yeah, and then the second part about the trade-in, I think that that's the thing about the interesting thing about a lot of what we do is that education is like really a big part of the watch hobby, and it's super tough to know what we need to educate people on. And yeah, I think that that's a part where we hope that it becomes the word of mouth kind of viral part of our brand, if you will, is that we want to be viral in some ways for our quality in the product. But I mean, the community, the thing that you mentioned about our balance is actually, I would be overjoyed to actually go all the way over in terms of having our community become the biggest part of our brand because I think that the product is an excellent one. If we continue to just have incremental small movements where we capitalize on technology getting better, that's a great thing if we can just keep selling the product because it's new. Every day that some new person goes to our website, they don't know when it came out. It's new to them, and I think the product is so good that every new person that arrives at it is great. But I would like for the community to explode and to educate each other about those things because it's one thing for the brand to tell you something and say, hey, you can do this or whatever. But the more people that use that function, and that's why we have so many different parts of the brand and those like Easter eggs of like, you can get the pouch, and then maybe you're at the airport and someone sees the pouch or the bag or the knife or whatever. And if none of them are weak, all of them are good, then it doesn't matter how anyone ends up at the brand. So, no, I appreciate the feedback. And I mean, that's something that we rack our brain about all the time is education because we think, like the Ultra Hex, like, how do you show someone what scratch resistance really feels like, unless they have something that's scratched to compare to. If that's their first watch, they think all watches should be like that. Or, there's different aspects. Like, we often sell their first mechanical watch that a person will ever own, and they'll receive it and say, like, well, I wore it and I set it for like a day, and then I went to sleep and I picked it up and it was dead. It's broken. I need to return it. And we really want to be encouraging of these people. So it's we sit and send them DMs and message them and talk to them about it from an educational standpoint. And we hope that the community helps people understand that as well because all those little pieces of education will that's the joy of watch collecting is that it becomes a rabbit hole. You start falling in love with one of those educational pieces, and it's a really becomes a joy to talk to others about it.
Last question, I promise. Will we ever see a quartz RZ watch?
We will see a solar quartz this year even.
Looking forward to that. Thank you so much for your time. We will talk again, that's for sure. As I said, you're a friend of the podcast. We have been in touch for a while now, and we talk a lot about watches, materials, and all that. And we'll have you on the podcast again.
Thanks, I'm looking forward to it. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, man. And for the listeners, thank you guys for listening. If you have any questions, recommendations, if you just want to chat with me and Huey, I will leave all the contacts in the podcast notes. And until next time, remember, what's beyond horology is time and people. Respect them both. Goodbye.